Hi, welcome to Story Hall,
a podcast exploring the lore behind the most important stories in the world.
So pull up a chair by the fireplace
and let us put a story in your hole.
Hi, I'm Brian.
I'm Kevin.
I'm Roger.
And I'm Joey.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Pretty
very
great.
Very good.
How are you?
I'm doing very well. I just considered that since we are in November, and you know, we're kind of in the season specifically known for thankfuls, but that's kind of done a little bit much. So I kind of was thinking maybe to ask you guys something that you're very not thankful for.
Oh.
Specifically, if you had something where you're like, "Oh, thanks a lot." If you could think of something like that, do you guys
so,
have anything
like a negative Thanksgiving,
anti-Thanksgiving?
Yeah,
That's a good question.
YouTube is down worldwide right now.
Yeah. Is it really?
I'm trying to watch all my cool vids and I can't.
Are those vids that you're in, Roger? The ones that you made? Or are you talking
yeah.
about...
Yeah. All my own personal cool vids.
I'm trying to watch Roger's cool vids too, and I can't get to them.
I found on my celebrity crush...
If you want to watch them, just go to rogerscoolvids.com and you can watch them all there.
I hope it's real. I found out my celebrity crush got married. I'm really kind of sad about that.
Oh, to Emil Hirsch.
Who's your celebrity crush?
Emil Hirsch. Yeah, I mean, fuck you. I've been trying to find a new one, and I found a new one, and it's this lady who keeps bees, and I see her on Reddit all the time.
That's the bee lady. Yeah. Okay, I was watching that.
Joey, that's just a crush. I don't think that's a celebrity crush. Yeah. The lady you saw on Reddit in a beekeeping subreddit?
She's on all the time. Her name's Erica Thompson. She lives in Texas, and she just got married. And I'm really sad about it.
Sorry, man. That's not a celebrity crush. That's just a crush on a stranger. That's just a crush on somebody you'll never meet.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm a monster. Oh, no. I'm not thankful for being a monster.
My celebrity crush is this woman I see that just walks down the street in my town, and I'm always looking at her and following her around.
Sounds nice. That sounds good. Can I have a crush on her, too?
Yeah.
I trust your judgment.
Do we know who she married? Is he
also
a
fuck? I don't know. He's uglier than I am. I can tell you that much. And that was me. I'm sorry, guy.
Yeah. It's probably
enjoy your
probably.
Life together.
I mean, there's a chance he's a bee, right?
Have you ever seen a bee movie? That movie's stupid as fuck.
Dude, and this movie is such a wild premise. I've never seen it, but it's about a woman and a bee falling in love.
Yeah, right. Dude.
Right.
And the antagonist is the only sane person in the whole movie.
Really?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to talk about
the antagonist. Yeah, let's save that for another episode.
Man,
came out right when Bug's Life came out too, and so everybody was real confused.
And ants.
And ants.
And ants. Yeah.
Do you think that kind of sunk Jerry Seinfeld's career?
No,
I blame the last episode of Seinfeld. Do you see it and they go to jail?
Oh my god, are you kidding me?
Thanks a lot, Seinfeld.
Yeah, fuck you, Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Wait, did it actually affect his career, Roger? Do you know that?
I mean, I don't know that at all. I just feel like it did because what has he done since then?
He lives in a car now. I saw. Yeah,
he lives in cars.
That poor man.
Does anybody else have any anti-thankfuls other than Joey's bee lady?
I'm out of things to watch on Netflix, so that feels frustrating.
No, you've watched the entire catalog.
I've watched everything that they've got, and yeah.
Hey, why don't you just go on YouTube?
I gotta get my cool vids onto Netflix.
Yeah,
listeners, if anybody out there has a Netflix hookup, ask them if they want to put my cool vids up.
Maybe we can do like one of those celebrity like get him out of jail, like hashtag get Ryan. Who's Ryan? Roger's cool vids.
Roger and Brian.
Hashtag Roger on together. Netflix. Yeah. Something that I'm not thankful for. Man, I think I'm just too thankful. I think I just really appreciate everything right now.
This is a really happy guy.
Yeah.
Do you love me?
That's great.
I'm loving it. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, man.
Thanks a lot, Roger.
I have a hard time saying it back, but thank you.
One thing that I was always thankful for, like as a young kid, seeing as this is as being a super, super dork, just Nintendo. Nintendo was a hugely influential thing for me as a kid and all the different things about Nintendo. So I kind of decided that the theme for this episode would be kind of little things that were like Nintendo nostalgia from my childhood. Things of that mind. So I don't want to necessarily isolate the Sega Genesis or TurboGrafx-16 crowd, but honestly, fuck you guys.
Yeah.
That's the worst system choices ever. So what I wanted to start talking about is I have a couple things that I was going to address. The first thing that I wanted to look at to kind of kick things off is Nintendo Power.
I was going to ask if you guys had subscriptions to Nintendo Power.
I absolutely love Nintendo Power. I used to wait for it all the time. So Nintendo Power was a big part of my childhood. And when I was like maybe 26, maybe 28... I was doing a lot of like art, Nintendo art for different things. And I saw some call where Nintendo Power was looking for art. So I sent it in. I was like, hey, here's my work.
So cool.
And they wrote back and they were like, this is great. We want to make you a featured artist in Nintendo Power. And I was like, holy shit, this is like my childhood dream. And then the following month, they announced that the magazine was canceled and it was going under.
Hey, Raj.
Yeah.
Hey, Raj.
Thanks a lot, Nintendo Power. You know,
They do that for every child. You can submit art every month, and that's always featured.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
So he would have been along the illustrious, like, crayon drawings of, like, Bobby.
7-year-old Billy next to
28-year-old Roger. Yeah. But, man, mine would have been great. So much better than theirs, though.
That kid.
Well, that would place it in 2012, because the whole thing ran for 24 years. It went from 1988 to 2012. Do you guys remember... I was reading this and I was like, I'd never heard of this, but I think it was because I was six, that it had a predecessor called the Nintendo Fun Club News. Did you guys have any idea about that?
I know about it, but I never had it. I was too young also, but yeah.
My parents wouldn't let me.
Yeah, like, I mean, my parents even fought me to get a Nintendo Power. They're like, you don't need this crap. And I was like, thanks, Dad.
I used to find my dad's Nintendo Powers, you know, in the woodshed behind the house.
Sneak them. I remember we were really lucky. Me and the neighborhood kid, we'd go to the dumpster at the end of the month behind the 7-Eleven and pick up Nintendo Powers.
Your old sticky Nintendo Power, and you trade it back and forth.
So the thing came out in 1988. If you were to guess what first game was highlighted in 1988, do you know what that would be?
Mario 2.
Like a big kind of like spread for the first Nintendo Power?
Mario 2.
Oh, yeah. How do you know that?
It's like claymation Mario, right? It looks like a clay.
The cover, what? The first cover of issue number one, I think, is a clay Mario. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man, you guys really know your Nintendo Power. I feel I loved it. It's so funny that I'm like, they're going to really have to work for this. You're like, Mario 2, I'm bored.
I'm pretty sure the last issue is basically like an homage to the first one. I think it has an awesome.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm. They referenced the cover of the first one.
Yeah. I just love Mario, so.
I do too.
Mario, that's my celebrity crush, Mario.
I mean, that's a good question. Which one of the Mario characters do you find most physically attractive?
I mean, we've gone over this. I want to get a Peach tattoo. That's my girl.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm just going to throw this out there.
You're a little
Yoshi.
Toad.
Yoshi, man.
Yoshi? Really?
Oh.
That tongue.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? French kissing that guy.
I had an unhealthy obsession with Yoshi's when I was in like 8th grade or 7th grade.
Did you think about French kissing him with that tongue?
Why wouldn't I?
Can you imagine what that would sound
like? You see those eggs? What do you think? Yeah, it goes...
The thing that always bothered me about Yoshi is it always looked like the animation of whenever you needed him to stick out his tongue was Mario punching him in the head.
Yeah, that's a real thing. That's him. Yeah, it's him punching him.
Which is awful.
I thought it looked like he is, but in reality, it's Mario pointing.
Oh, like lick that?
Yeah, like lick that thing.
Lick that. Lick that dog.
He's an infant, though, Roger. You're a pervert, I think.
Yoshi?
Yoshi?
Yeah, because he's an egg every time.
Yeah,
but, then you feed him all the little apples, and then he turns to an adolescent.
Yeah,
we see
a baby Yoshi. Yeah. The Yoshi that we know is an adolescent, at least.
Yeah,
maybe a full-grown,
She's totally
Yoshi.
Legal.
Yeah,
Kevin, just totally, totally fine. Wait, do they ever go into are there female or male Yoshi?
Well, I know. I mean, I guess this is kind of silly, but I know that they have different color variants and stuff. And Yoshi's story; those are all baby Yoshis, but they're not like the weird. Like, I feel like they're fledglings. They're not like hatchlings. They're fledglings. And then we know. I'm fairly certain it's the same thing as like the Donkey Kong story, where the Yoshi that we know from Yoshi's Island grows up, and that becomes like the father of the Yoshis that we know now.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay. I mean, they lay eggs, so I think it's safe to assume that all Yoshis are probably female.
Oh, yeah, it's a good call.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I guess they must be. Okay.
And I saw Jurassic Park and they only bred females because it was safer or something. I don't know. Something about embryos. I think embryos were involved.
So just real quick about Nintendo Power. Generally, it has, you know, your strategy guides that I would always use. Like, that's what I tended to... Well, that and the ratings, but I'll get back to that in a second. So you had your strategy. You had previews of upcoming games, so you knew, like, what you would want to buy, reviews that you would go into. And when I was, like, looking into this, I guess the mark that you wanted to get in review was to get a 4.5 or higher. Did you guys know this?
No.
That was like the golden mark. Apparently, in the first 8 years of its run, up into 1996, only 17 games had reached a 4.5 or higher, which made it 1.3%.
What's the top score? Like, five.
The top score would be a 5. And so, yeah, 4.5 was like, this is a really great game. To kind of like put that in the mark. And then I have a list of those first 17. There's 11 on NES and there's 7 on SNES. The 11 on NES seem really hard to guess. Do you guys want to take a stab on what you think might have made the top 17, 4.5 or
NES,
higher?
Contra.
And Contra doesn't make it. Okay. Like the NES is no.
DuckTales?
Nope.
Huh.
Oh. Well, the Zelda games.
No. What the fuck?
What game? Bubble Bobble?
No. Okay.
What are you doing to me right now?
Link to the Past, SNES does it, but not a single Zelda in NES.
Can you give us a couple that are on the NES list?
Do you want me to give you like one that would make sense or one that doesn't?
Give me one that doesn't.
3D World Runner.
Okay. How about Adam's Family?
Dude,
what?
Okay, yeah. Wait. Adam's Family or Fester's Quest?
Adam's Family.
Okay,
Fester's
good.
Quest.
This is a little deep in the weeds for a lot of listeners, but man, Fester's Quest is one of the worst Nintendo games of all time. I bought it and regretted it so badly that I went to go trade it in the following week at like a video game store, and the guy was like, "This is worth $2, but I detract $1 because you don't have the box, and another dollar because you don't have the manual." So I'm like, so I just have to give it to you for $0? He's like, take it or leave it.
What?
Would you have accepted the box and manual for $2 without the game?
Yeah, apparently.
What did you do with the box and the manual in a week, Roger?
I mean, I hated the game.
Burned it.
It's in the secret corner.
Down the woodshed.
I remember when I bought Fetcher's Quest, I killed myself.
Sorry.
So another one is the Three Stooges. Do you guys ever play the Three Stooges
what?
Games?
I didn't even know that existed.
Apparently great. Huh. But I guess the ones that kind of make sense, like Ninja Gaiden.
Okay.
Gaiden?
I say Gaiden.
I've heard it both ways.
Yeah.
Okay, but cool. Castlevania 3 makes it. Super Mario's 3. Battletoads, which is super hard.
Battletoads is a good game.
Great game, but super, super hard.
Yeah.
You guys want to try SNES? You might be able to... To get one
of Star Fox?
No.
SNES.
Adam's Family and Super NES.
Super Adam's Family.
Fester's Quest 2.
Ninja Turtles, Turtles in Time.
Yeah.
No.
Really?
Mm-hmm. That's a good game.
It's a good ass game.
It's
Ken Griffey Jr.'s Super Baseball.
Man, that's a good ass game too.
No.
That game's DTF.
Final Fantasy 2 makes it.
Okay.
SimCity, Super Metroid, Shadowrun, Chrono Trigger, Super Mario World.
Those are all great games.
7 on that one.
Yeah.
So
I'm putting made a lot of.
Honestly, I feel like SNES ratings were way more accurate. Have you guys ever heard of Bayou Billy?
No.
Yeah, what? Bayou Billy.
Yeah, he's the one who's. He submitted the artwork to Nintendo Power next to Roger's artwork.
He's really good with coloring. Well, anyway, apparently Nintendo Power kind of ran out of its steam in 2012 because too many kids were trying to submit to become artists on it, so they stopped it at that point.
I just want to clarify, I wasn't going to be in the artist pages. They were going to do an article about me.
That's what all the kids...
And then... the thing that I didn't know, and so maybe I have something that you guys don't already know. Did you know that it came back in 2017 as a podcast?
Yeah,
no.
I've listened to it. It's terrible.
Is it really?
It's really boring.
Oh man,
it's just it's like made by Nintendo, and it's just kind of some, it just feels very generic, like, corporate more than an interesting interesting look at video games.
So it's not like a passion project. It's just kind of,
it seems more about like, spokespeople talking about upcoming games.
Dude, we could do way better. We should just make our own podcast called Good Nintendo Power Podcast.
Good Nintendo Power. Yeah.
You know what we should do? We should say we're in a podcast. We could go ahead and take over the Nintendo podcast. We can start and they'll stop it in the next month.
Why don't we just switch? Like, we can just switch formats. They can do Story Hole. We'll do Nintendo Power.
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's just trade them. Swap out, man. Yoshi's
Nintendo. Cool. So that was like Nintendo Power. I thought that was always like really fun as a kid.
The maps.
The next thing that
those maps were dope as fuck.
Oh
yeah.
Speaking of maps, that's what I actually wanted to go into. That's what like freaked me out. Game manuals of original NES games, specifically, and I don't know if this like means anything to you guys, the original Legend of Zelda instruction manual that came with that fold-out map. Do you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Okay, so the manual starts off with like that cool 3D map that they did. I don't know what it was. It must have been like clay, but it looked like an actual model. And it starts off with this epic like kind of rundown of the world, like a long, long time ago. The world was an age of chaos. In the middle of this chaos, in the little kingdom, the land of Hyrule, a legend was being handed down from generation to generation, the legend of the Triforce. And then it goes on and explains with like all these cool different animations of like, you know, or like, you know, drawings of all the villains that you were going to fight and the lands you were going to fight, with like tips and hints to destroy Ganon, basic gameplay and the items. And I feel like the way that I treated those things when I was a kid was this like amazing little relic, because my Legend of Zelda manual got so used that it was so kind of tore up, so that I'd have to kind of like gently take it out to look at it and read
like
at it.
Like an ancient manuscript.
I love that though. I feel like that's a beautiful concept. I think it's a really cool idea.
Dude, I loved it so much, and I remember my fold-out map that would basically kind of unveil the little squares of the world, or the rectangles of the world in Zelda. It had so much wear that it was torn, and I'd have to piece it back together every time I would look at it. So I feel like, and I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but I know that a lot of, like, middle of our game career, they stopped making manuals, and specifically now that everything is like a download. Do you guys remember the last time you got like a game with a manual?
It's been a long time.
No, I mean, I'm kind of bummed out because I got my Nintendo Switch pretty recently, like a year ago. And I got the cases and you open them up and you're excited because you're going to look at the cartridge and stuff. And there's just like a flyer for like, hey, like save $5 on dog food or some shit. And it's like,
Nintendo dog Kodak food.
Boom. Yeah, like, well, what is this? This is not the Mario that I know.
Yes, I remember the last one I distinctly remember is for Warcraft, not World Warcraft, but the like original Warcraft, or maybe Warcraft 2, came with a manual that had the really cool artwork in it that I would draw a lot. But I think it's been definitely since the 90s. I don't think it's really been a thing.
Yeah.
You got a pre-order for that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did you guys have a like particular manual that you really liked or you recall?
Final Fantasy had a fold-out, like poster-sized fold-out, that on one side was a huge world map and the other side had a bunch of the monsters with their stats on it. And you would kind of need it to know what you were fighting. So you'd constantly be like referring to the poster, which is a really cool thing. Yeah. I think having that kind of real-world artifact makes it such a more, I don't know, it made the experience a lot more fun back then.
Immersive?
Yeah, immersive.
Subversive?
Yeah.
Submergible.
That's the one.
Submergible. Honestly, my favorite part of the Zelda one, because, so you had this 8-bit, right? NES? Mm-hmm. 8-bit? Right, yeah. You had this 8-bit rendition of what these creatures are supposed to look like, and they're supposed to be really ominous and scary, but they end up kind of looking sort of silly and cartoony because it's the best that they could do. But in the Zelda manual, they would have like an artist rendition next to the 8-bit one, plus their like name and kind of a little bit about them. So you get like a really cool sense of like who these people are, and it basically runs it down between like the monsters that you would see in the top world and then the monsters that you're going to see in like the underground labyrinths and stuff. And I was just kind of looking at them again, the best and worst named for the enemies that you were going to fight in the upper world. They warned you about facing rock, which is literally just rocks that fall down from the mountains. You guys remember those? And the rundown of it is really funny. Let me find that. It's kind of a weird rock. These rocks crumble off Death Mountain and fall down to attack Link. He can't destroy these natural nuisances, which is like, oh, cool. Thanks. And then I feel like I wanted to mention, like, the best I liked was the Moblin, with, like, the bulldog-looking guys that you would find in the forest. Yeah. Those kind of, like, bulldog goblins. So I like those guys. And then in the underworld, I thought... my favorite was also always those guys who look like little bunny rabbits, but for whatever reason were called Paul's Voice. You guys remember those?
I do, and I can actually tell you what they're about, unless you know, Brian.
I was like, part of me, honestly, always just liked that I didn't know who Paul was. I didn't want to know, but go ahead and tell me.
It's like, yeah. P-O-L, Paul? Right? Paul? Paul's Voice. And they're creatures with big ears. The original system that game came out on in Japan had a microphone in the controller. And to defeat those, you would have to whistle into the microphone. Cool. So it was the sound of your voice that stunned them so you could kill them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And when it was ported over to the United States, there was no microphone in the controller. So that mechanic didn't work anymore. But the reference to a voice and their big ears are because you would use your voice to kill them.
That's super cool. So cool. And then they would just like... Yeah, like I feel like there was so much more effort and time into it. And then, do you guys remember that in the underground labyrinths, the underwear? Do you remember underwear? Do you wear them?
I don't remember.
What kind of underwear are you wearing? the guys who look like knights in the labyrinths.
I like those guys. And they have different colors, right? They're like blue.
Yeah, there's like a blue and light blue, and then there's like an orange and red version of them. You guys remember those, right? Mm-hmm. Do you guys remember what they're called? I had no idea what their official name was.
Something with a knuckle, close. Right?
They're called Dark Nut. Yeah.
Dark Nut.
Which is like, what? So there's those things there, too. And I just kind of thought that was neat, because there's so much more, it seemed like, back then, when you could have, like, entrance. Because I remember, like, I would prep to play a game by, like, reading through the manual and getting ready for it. And I don't know, it felt like you guys were saying, like, world building and neat kind of... And like an entrance into what you were trying to do.
I think that's a big part of it, is that games now do the world building in game. But back then, that was the way they established the narrative, is by describing it in the manual. We talked about this a little bit way back, probably our first episode in Castlevania. We talked about how the story is really communicated through the manuals and not represented in the gameplay at all. So you kind of needed that manual to understand what was happening in the world. So I guess games now are better because you don't need that. But I kind of, maybe it's nostalgic, but I think I'd still prefer to have a cool book that I could read to know what's going on in the game.
I think it requires you as a kid to tap into your imagination. So when you're looking at these weird pixelated figures, you can see what they actually look like in your head. You know, this little three-frame animation actually looks like they're swinging real hard and stuff, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of agree. I feel like it's... maybe it is just like a Nintendo nostalgia coming out of me, but to have the idea, I understand like what you're saying, that like you definitely need something because there's a lot lacking in like an 8-bit or 16-bit system. But still, like to have that little bit to kind of something like tactile that you can hold on to, that you can take out and do something different with, other than when you're like engaged in. Because I remember like playing early strategy games or things, and then you would need to read the rule book to know what you were doing, instead of like, I guess nowadays it's all tutorial or something.
Do you guys remember tutorial? The game? Mm-hmm. Do you remember the game Myst?
Yeah.
There's a PC
it's a
game.
Nightmare.
That game, in the beginning, it said you should probably get a notebook to like write out your notes in, because you're going to need it. So I had like a cool notebook that I would like carry around with me to like solve puzzles when I had downtime and stuff.
Yeah, that's kind of a cool idea. I mean, to talk to you about that, Raj. You should really put that. You should let it go, man.
I'm trying to beat it, man. It's so hard.
I remember, like, I remember being a kid and being exposed to video games a lot through my uncles, who actually had like these systems. Like, first exposure to Atari was one of my uncles, and NES and Super NES was my other uncle, and he had one of those Myst books, and I would just look at the notes that he was taking and kind of try to like watch him play, and it was like so beyond me, and I'm like, man, this is like an adult playing a video game, like this is crazy.
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
We've been meaning to talk to you about this. You don't have uncles. Can you stop talking about that?
I'm sorry.
You gotta let them go. I was thinking about this because you were talking about The Rock, like as a villain and stuff.
Yeah,
there are a lot of like licensed games that have a bunch of bullshit going on. Like, did you ever play Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for original NES? Uh-huh. Yeah. What the fuck are you fighting?
Like, the flame, guys that are on fire and weird alien bats and stuff that were never in the cartoon. Yeah, I think a lot of those licensed games were just made by studios that had never seen what the property that they were making the game for.
There's like a huge disconnect between every part of the development of games, I feel like.
Yeah.
Between the box art to the game to the like reference material that it's using, they were all wacky.
Like the original Mega Man box art. Oh my god. A chubby man holding a gun instead of a robot boy.
Like a jumpsuit and a biker helmet. It's ridiculous.
The music though.
Yeah.
For all of these games, music though is dope.
Yeah, music's good.
remember Ninja Turtles?
Yeah, that was very good. Do you guys know of any game that was based on something else, like outside of the world in like cartoon format or something, that they did a good job when they made a
seven
game?
7-Up.
7-Up.
That was a good game.
Cool spot. You are the 7-Up spot, and you have to go through like a beach, and you have to fight seagulls, you know, and I'd imagine that's probably what the 7-Up world is really like.
Yeah, it's pretty spot on.
Hey, good fun, Kevin. Nicely done. The next thing I want to say is, did any of you guys ever call the Nintendo Power Line to get like strategy help?
No, yeah. I've heard of that.
Good, bro.
They launched it. It was a hotline. You could call it pretty much similar to Nintendo Power from 88 to 2010. They cut it 2 years earlier. I guess they brought it back in 2016. So if you really are struggling with a Nintendo game, you could call it
in 2010.
2010 seems way too late for that.
Yeah.
So the whole idea was that I thought that existed before the internet.
Right.
Because before the internet, if you were stuck on something, you had no support. You couldn't just go online and look.
Nintendo Power or call somebody.
So you had to call that number. Yeah, that's crazy. It made it until 2010.
Yeah,
it was same thing for internet dating. Way back when, you used to like if you couldn't find a girlfriend, you'd have to
look in the magazines.
Uh-huh. Just like, I'd like to download one girl, please.
One girl.
I did call that hotline once. I was stuck on a game. It was Final Fantasy, and there was a boss that I just could not beat. And I was trying for weeks, and I couldn't beat him. And I was like, there has to be some kind of secret. So you had to pay money to call that hotline. So I had to convince my parents to let me do that. And it cost like $5 or something. And I called, and they're like, and I was like, I'm stuck on this boss. And the guy was like, yeah, you just have to do better, kid. You just have to do good. And I was like, that's it? And he's like, yep, thanks for calling.
Oh, man. So, I never called that hotline, but there was one point. This is how nerdy me and my brother were. We had a PC Star Trek game that we couldn't figure out the very beginning because, like, you could bring up a menu which had, like, your tricorder and your phaser and stuff, but we would walk up and get killed by these, like, robot men. And we called them being like, we just don't know how to do this. And they're like, you just gotta kill them. And we're like, that's it? And they're like, yeah, good luck. And it was totally the same thing.
That was my experience too, yeah. Just do it. You just gotta do it.
Do better.
Thanks.
Yeah. This is a life lesson, kid. Sorry. if you can't figure this out, good luck. Life gets a lot harder than this.
It was just like the cold, hard reality of that kind of dad figure that you didn't have already.
It is weird to think about who's on the other side of that line, though. Was that just some guy, and we just had to assume that he had played every game and knew how to do everything? Or did he have like some kind of massive tome on his deck of desk of every video game tip in the world?
They had one, a big old book. Yeah, it's on one of those Netflix shows that I watched when I watched the whole catalog. Yeah, they did one on video games, the development of video games, and they had that particular hotline featured, and they literally had a huge binder with like every map of every game kind of thing where they had to help people get through stuff.
Man. What a cool thing to own.
Yeah.
I just figured it was like, if you're calling the line, you're talking to Nintendo Father, and he shines down all of his knowledge on you. Hello, my son. Do you need help with Bubble Bobble?
Going from there, another kind of Nintendo nostalgia that's not necessarily like the positive part is I wanted to talk specifically and run through each one of you guys. What was your Nintendo regular NES blowing technique to get the game to work? Like, what was your technique when you would get that flashing screen or you get the garbled text? What would you do to get it to work?
Massage the balls. No, okay, I got it. Ready? So you take the cartridge, you give it a solid back and forth horizontal.
Okay.
And then when you put it into the cartridge into the machine, you gotta rattle it back and forth, cha 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 cha, and then you leave it on the far left side. You would use the controller because there's that little dent inside the cartridge, the controller itself to pull it back and forth like a ka 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 ka, but you leave it on the far left.
Far left.
See, that's interesting. Mine was completely different. I never blew directly mouth to game. I would put my shirt in between, so I pull my shirt to my mouth. So there's a little bit of a barrier, so none of my detritus got inside the game, you know. Yeah.
And you don't get those nintestides.
And then you slide it into the slot, and you'd push it down to like engage it, you know. You'd have to push it down and then let it pop up like 3 or 4 times really fast. And
oh, you did it up down, up down,
up down, up down. Yep.
Left, right, and then left, just... right. AB.
Works every time.
Okay, works every time. And just real quick for anybody who didn't have a regular NES, you would have your game cartridge that had like the little like, you know, pins on the bottom of it that you would then have to engage with like the pins inside there. And you would put it horizontally into like this little black carriage, which you would then push down. And once it was pushed down and locked, then you could press play and then it would start, ideally. Kevin, what was your technique?
One breath, back and forth, one breath. 3 times. You're not moving your face, you're moving the cartridge. Back and forth.
Like a harmonica?
Yeah, exactly. 3 times. Fast. Back forth. One breath. And then you just put it in. You don't have to do any fancy jiggling or anything. That just lightly push it back in.
Very official.
I would try that and it would never work for me. What I would have to do is take it into the bathroom and turn off the lights, and you'd have to stand in front of the mirror.
And say its name 3 times.
Yeah. And then you look into the mirror and you see a dead woman, and then you pop that bad boy in your Nintendo. It works every time.
I'm going to take mine to a field and saying, "Dear God, make me a bird so I can fly far, far away."
Yeah.
That's a weird Forrest Gump reference.
Dear God, it's me, Joey.
It's her saying that because she's getting molested too?
I don't know. I just found out today that Gary Sinise actually has legs. 3 of them.
Yeah, and he's got a long, illustrious veteran family that doesn't all die in war. I would blow in the cartridge. Did you guys ever blow in the system?
Oh, God, no.
Okay. How did you do that?
I did this thing where I would take the cartridge sleeve. So after I engaged it and pushed it down in the carriage, I would force a sleeve on top of it to keep it pushed down. Or actually use another cartridge on top of it to keep it so that it didn't... So you know how when you push the cartridge, it would kind of come back up a little bit?
Yeah.
Yeah, we kind of force it down like that sometimes. So I think it's resoundingly...
Can you step in away from the mic for a quick second?
Sure. Okay, I'm gone.
Guys, it's disgusting. Fucking maniac.
Who is this guy?
Oh my God. All right, Brian, you can come back.
Okay, I'm back. One of the things that I thought was really interesting is apparently Mental Floss did research on it, and we were all collectively, maybe Roger a little less, ruining our systems because of the detritus. But the moisture from your breath was actually corroding the pins if you blew in the system, which I did, was ruining that. But if you blew in the cartridges, like, it was just collectively ruining those.
Did they say anything about games? Was it bad to take it in the bathroom and turn the lights off?
No, they said that was foolproof. Okay. That was the only way. Ghost breath is the safest way to do it. Did you guys ever buy those kits too? That they would have like cleaning kits?
No, we weren't rich.
No. Yeah, I didn't have money, dude. I was 3. Also, what's that word detritus that you just said? Is that the name of the things that you try to get in Tetris? Is that
favorite?
The
thing you're trying to game?
It's the white flaky stuff that comes off your scalp.
Oh. Ew, is that true?
No. That's dandruff.
Let's call Nintendo Father and find out. He knows everything.
I always thought that collectively as children, and it was all just spread by word of mouth. There was never like a sanctioned Nintendo thing that said like, hey, you know, blow on your games, that'll work. It's kind of a neat thing that the community was just like...
Like a bunch of all these kids like saying like, oh, like my bigger brother says do this. It works every time.
It's like an urban myth, kind of.
Uh-huh. there was one time I felt so bad. So we were trying to get the game to work at my friend's house, and I don't know why he walked away while we were working on it, and I decided to like blow into his system, and I was chewing gum, and my gum shot out of my mouth into his system, and I panicked so hard, and I luckily like got the gum out of the system before he came back. But I was like, oh my god, I don't know how I'm going to explain this.
Like, you should have said, here's your problem, there's gum in your system.
Look at this.
Gave an extra, like, gave it a little boost to like add some connections or something, and you end up with a 9-bit game somehow.
Give you an extra life in Mario.
Yeah.
All right, should we wrap it up?
Oh, shoot us an email, storyholepodcast@gmail.com. We love them.
Follow us on Instagram at storyholepodcast on Instagram.
Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
Send Roger an email and tell him you want to see his art so he'll feel good about himself.
Please, please, nobody ever saw it. It's a really good drawing of Mario. I want somebody to see it.
Hey, send Roger a second email. Tell him to put the Myst book away. We don't want to see it anymore.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.